What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 140, and today we're finally going to be touching on COVID. This is something me and Tom have talked about personally for the past, I guess, like a year and a half or so, and we weren't really sure if we were going to do a podcast on it or not, just because it's so politically divisive. You know, some people are super scared of COVID, some people don't even believe in COVID, and then you have everyone in between. And me and Tom have definitely had our opinions on it. And now that things have kind of died down, at least where we are in California, things are basically back to normal. We don't have to wear masks, everything's open. We can go, you know, get dinner, go, you know, shake someone's hand if you feel like it without, you know, giving somebody a heart attack. But it just felt appropriate now that some of the science is a little more established. There's a few more just articles out there on basically COVID, what it was, how it works. And that's why I felt like now is a good time to touch on it. And we're going to do three episodes because there's three things I personally wanted to touch on and Tom kind of agreed. So the first one is just going to be a general overview of how COVID works. And we're going to touch on the vaccine and why getting the vaccine might lead to clotting issues. The second topic is going to be on the vaccine data and how it was manipulated to make you look better than what it really is. And then the third episode is going to be on asymptomatic spread of COVID and how that was used as an argument to get everyone vaccinated. And basically, we're going to look at the data showing if that assumption was true or not. So those are the three things I have fairly strong opinions on and three things I feel like I can back up. That's why I wanted to do episodes on it. I mean, I'm not an expert on viruses. I am not an expert on the human immune system. I mean, I am educated on biology. I am educated on basically, I can read through bullshit real good. I'm good at it. And Tom is as well. So, you know, if you listen to this podcast,
that hasn't stopped anybody else from talking about this. Everybody's had an opinion and everybody's been sharing their opinion about this whole vaccine and this whole COVID epidemic. So, I mean, like, why shouldn't we? We're a lot more educated than a lot of other folks out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's just, I've always just kind of hesitant talking about it, maybe because I don't want to offend people or maybe because, I don't know, people are just very passionate about this. It's almost like people's like favorite sports teams, you know what I mean? They love them, they hate them, all that type of stuff. So, but yeah, do you want to just say anything, I guess, before we get started on this little series?
Well, one thing that you mentioned is that the science is a lot more established now. And that's kind of one of the main reasons I didn't want to come out and say anything is because I was hearing two completely different arguments from a lot of different people. So it was just kind of like, I didn't want to come out and talk about this and just be loud wrong. That was like the main thing that I kind of wanted to avoid this topic is I have my personal beliefs, but I didn't feel confident enough in those personal beliefs to come out and do, you know, a podcast or like a little series like we're doing now if we were going to be wrong about everything.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to follow that up with like an apology tour and have to take down those episodes.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point because, yeah, he's right. Like, when this first started, we didn't know if we had people, like, wiping down their mail with, like, Lysol wipes because we didn't know how contagious it was. We didn't know how it was actually spread. And when this new virus just hit the world, everybody was scared. You had some people, like, said, saying everything, and some people saying it's nothing, and everything in between, like I said. So, But now, I mean, the data is out there and it's pretty hard to argue against it. And I mean, obviously people still do. People still argue that you should be vegan, and that makes no damn sense. And we talked about that a million times. But so, yeah, I mean, people argue about this stuff till they're blue in the face. But this is just going to be our opinions. It is going to be backed up by articles. I'm going to link everything that I've read about this on this post. So you can go to tntwellnessandnutrition.com and you can read everything I've read, and you can listen, and if you agree with my opinion, that's cool. If you don't, just you can reach out, let me know. We can have a conversation about it. But one thing I am very, I guess, happy with, I feel lucky, is that over the past few years, learning more about nutrition, I've been able to kind of just highlight the people who opinions matter, who opinions, I know these people aren't bullshitters. I know these people are actually just legitimate researchers who know what they're talking about. You know, there's so many just talking heads on TV, and if they have, you know, expert next to their name, they have PhD after a few, like, you know, whatever their initials, people just believe everything they say. But trust me, there's a lot of quacks out there who have PhDs. There's a lot of shit doctors out there who don't know anything. And I know, I've talked to plenty of them. So, but I do know a few people who I do trust. And one of them is Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. And he's going to be a real big influence throughout this whole series, because he's wrote a few very influential papers on COVID. And just, he's just a really good researcher. He's really good and somebody I rely on. So just want to give him credit where credit is due, because I'm going to be going through a lot of his stuff. But the first thing I really wanted to touch on, which I don't even understand why I need to touch on this, because for me, it makes so much sense and it's so obvious, but for a lot of people, it's not. And that is that science can be influenced by industry and politics. Like, that doesn't seem like it needs to be highlighted, but after just reading people's comments about COVID, and when people say, you know, follow the science, it's like, man, people don't understand how easily this world is kind of twisted around. And I've seen this time and time again in the diet and nutrition world. Therefore, like, this is nothing new to me. But with this whole COVID thing, it's drawn people into this quote unquote science world that were never there before. Therefore, they think that science is 100% black and white and it's always true. Like, no one ever lies, but that's not the case. And honestly, I saw this first with the National Dietary Guidelines. Like, this was in 1977. This is the reason why everyone eats a high-carb diet, basically, around the entire world. And the reporters that wrote this, wrote the national guidelines, they thought the debate over nutrition was over. They thought that fat was bad and carbs were good. And that's why, basically, the guidelines are the way they are. But if anyone knows, like, I know this, Tom knows this, if you actually know anything about diet and nutrition, you know fat and protein and animal source calories were never the problem. Carbohydrates and highly processed foods were the problem. Yet this industry was influenced by politics, and we got the results we got. Everyone's fat, everyone's sick, diabetes through the roof, cancer through the roof, heart disease through the roof. The science did not back that up. But that's what the National Dietary Guidelines established, because it was influenced by politics. So science can be influenced by politics, and that's 100% happened with this whole COVID narrative. So don't you think it's kind of crazy, but we should highlight that's just that happens.
Yeah, a saying that I hear all the time now is trust the science, but I'm like, what is the science? Like, there is no the science, because you can influence studies so many different ways, and there's a bunch of different studies showing conflicting data and stuff like that. So, like, the science, like, there isn't the science. Like, there's a lot of different forms of it, and there's so many different views, there's so many different studies out there. You just kind of have to go with the majority of it and what actually makes the most logical sense. And scientists don't always agree. I don't think there's that many topics out there that scientists, like, fully agree on.
Yeah, I think people agree, like, the world is a circle. You know what I mean? I think people have kind of got off the boat that the Earth is flat. But like Tom said, there's still a bunch of stuff where there's a huge gray zone and not everyone agrees with it. And so just basically the first thing I wanted to touch on with this whole COVID series is the literal mechanism of action. So how COVID gets in our body and what it does to us when it takes a hold, and how these specific traits of COVID can lead to various clotting issues that seem to make COVID more unique compared to the average flu. And this is why the COVID symptoms can range from a cough to diarrhea. And some people don't understand that. They say like, oh, all these symptoms are basically everything in the book. COVID's fake, blah, blah, blah. But this is why COVID has such a wide range of symptoms. And it has to do with the type of receptor that COVID uses to get in the body. So it can only enter cells that have a receptor known as angiotensin II, or commonly referred to as an ACE2 receptor. And cells with these receptors are mainly found in the lining of our lungs and the endothelial cells that line all blood vessels, and also the epithelial cells that line our intestines. If a cell does not have an ACE2 receptor, COVID simply cannot gain entry. And this is why COVID can affect the lungs and our guts. So if COVID actually survives your stomach acid and hits your small intestines, it can lead to diarrhea and just overall gastrointestinal distress. And honestly, for me, that just shows if that does affect you in that way, if COVID affects you in that way, it shows your stomach acid is shit and you need to either supplement with HCL or change your diet. Have you thought all that, Tom? That's what I thought of.
You know, I didn't before, but it does make sense because there's so many people out there that are on PPIs and, you know, just have very weak stomach acid. So yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
And one thing I wanted to mention about the whole ACE2 receptor, one thing that we did figure out about COVID very early on is that people with hypertension were having very, very bad outcomes with COVID. And that's because of this ACE2 receptor. People that are on hypertension medication, they produce more ACE2 receptors to help deal with that hypertension. And so they were just like the perfect target for this specific virus. So that's why they were having very, very bad outcomes. I think that was the number one comorbidity was hypertension.
Yep, exactly. And we all know the root, well, actually we know this, but traditional medicine doesn't know this, but the root cause of hypertension is going to be insulin resistant. It's going to be a shit diet and shit lifestyle. So to change the, have that on top of getting COVID, you're going to get really sick and you're going to have some bad outcomes. And that obviously that was seen in all the data, like Tom said. So what happens once COVID gets into our cells? Well, it does what all viruses do. It takes over various cellular mechanisms and forces the cell to produce more COVID viruses. This then kills or severely damages those cells. So essentially, COVID starts by damaging endothelial cells in the lungs because it usually arrives here first. Fluid is released, and there is a breakdown of the small blood vessels in the lungs and the small airways. In this situation, the lungs begin to fail, and oxygen levels in the blood can fall dramatically. And I'm sure you've heard of COVID causing people to put on vents, and this is what's going on there. COVID can also cause diarrhea, like I said, because the epithelial cells in the intestines are damaged. But this initial assault rarely kills people. This just makes them sick. This is the very classic, I have the flu, I have diarrhea, I have a cough, I have a runny nose. That's what's going on here. What happens next is what actually kills the majority of people who become severely infected with COVID. What happens next is that COVID gets in the bloodstream. It then evades endothelial cells, also parasites and myocytes in the heart, both of which have high levels of ACE2 receptors. What we now have is major widespread vasculitis, and this is inflammation of our blood vessels. And on our hands, now we have severe endothelial cell damage and disruption and damage to the glycocalyx, resulting in blood clots everywhere. And the glycocalyx is very similar to the kind of mucus barrier in our small intestines. So it's that mucus layer in our small intestines kind of protects it from food and just everything in our small intestines. The glycocalyx is basically the same thing, but it's in our blood vessels. So our blood has obviously a ton of stuff running through it all the time at a very fast rate. The glycocalyx protects our endothelial cells, which are very delicate, only one cell thick. But once that is damaged, blood clots are going to happen everywhere. So COVID leads to clots. So now let's look into how the vaccine works and how if it does cause clotting issues, it would be very hard for anyone to actually connect them to the vaccine.
So just to kind of clarify, like those blood clots are forming to respond to that cell damage to prevent any further damage. That's why you're getting blood clots. That's what they do. They're just there to prevent any further damage.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, in theory, a good thing, but in reality, that can turn very bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a repair mechanism, and it's a repair mechanism to stop overall bleeding. If you remember, we talked about this a little bit on the, I think it was stress causes heart disease, and how, remember, Tom, you had the example where if you're running and you're stressed out and you get cut, if your blood doesn't clot, you're going to bleed out.
Oh, yeah, especially if you get cut on your legs while your legs are pumping a bunch of blood through there. That's like a perfect scenario for you to bleed out of your legs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if there is this clotting mechanism going on, then that'll prevent you from, like, you know, just bleeding out over a little, like, cut you got on some thorn or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not that clotting is inherently a bad thing. It saves a lot of people's lives, and it's 100% a necessary mechanism to just be healthy. But when it's damaged in this sense, and when it's hijacked in this way, this massive blood clots everywhere is going to cause problems. So now I want to talk about the spike protein. This is kind of a buzzword. A lot of people have heard about it. And this is a thing that the vaccine tells our body to make. This is a thing that the immune system recognizes and attacks. Cells which are growing COVID inside of them express the spike protein on their surface and will be identified as an enemy. At which point the immune system will start to attack the lining of our blood vessels in an attempt to wipe out the virus. Because remember, in this second step of COVID, not the initial step where you have a cough or you have a runny nose, this step where it's in the blood supply and it's actually attacked the endothelial lining of our blood supply everywhere. Now the immune system is attacking those cells because they are expressing the spike protein on their surface. And this will tend to happen 2 or 3 weeks after the initial infection. This is after the immune system has had a real chance to identify the spike protein, then properly wind itself up to produce antibodies against it. So with this in perspective, it may not be COVID itself doing most of the clotting damage. It could be our own immune system attacking the lining of our blood vessels, which results in damage and resulting clotting. So this is actually been shown, I didn't actually read the paper for this podcast, but it was just published, I think, 2 days ago. If I remember, I'll link it. But a new study has actually shown that a lot of the issues with COVID aren't from COVID, quote unquote, they're from our own immune system. So it's almost an autoimmune condition that the trigger was COVID, but the actual attack and actual damage was done by ourselves. And if you know anything, we've talked about autoimmune a lot, and autoimmune disease is very prevalent nowadays. So it's just an interesting factor, an interesting angle with COVID, but it's just not really talked about a lot. And on top of that, it may be the spike protein itself which creates most of the blood clots, because it's been found out that just introducing the spike protein to blood causes the blood to coagulate and clot all on its own, doesn't need anything else. Just the spike protein itself causes clotting. So you introduce the COVID spike proteins into the bloodstream and it makes clots. And it makes clots fast, which is not a good thing. And there are multiple mechanisms in which COVID can cause clotting. So you see these issues with COVID and clots. This is the mechanism. There's a lot of ways that COVID can cause clots. And we know that a very high percentage of people who die following the COVID-19 infection die as a result of blood clots. We also know that they can also suffer severe myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle, which is very rare normally, but we're seeing that has actually been increasing because of this and because of the vaccine as well. We know that the spike protein can stimulate blood clots all by itself. We know that the immune system attacks foreign proteins, such as the spike protein, which can cause vasculitis, which again is just inflammation of all the blood vessels in our body. Not a good thing. And we know that the vaccines are designed to drive the rapid production of the spike protein that enters the bloodstream and specifically to encounter our immune system in order to create a powerful response that will lead to immunity against future COVID infections. So that's how the vaccine works. That's just pretty basic. And we know that a number of people have died from blood clots following vaccination. And this is a quote from the European Medicine Agency, which is kind of, they had a report just on the vaccine itself. So, quote, the PRAC noted that the blood clots occurred in veins in the brain, which is cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, and the abdomen, which is splanchnic vein thrombosis, and in arteries, together with low levels of blood platelets and sometimes bleeding, end quote. So we've identified very rare manifestations of blood clottings, which is ones, like I said, in the brain and in the splanchnic, which is just related to our internal organs. Those are very, very rare blood clots, but they are happening more now after the vaccine has been rolled out. And this is, I just don't think it's a very big logical leap to link these increases in myocarditis and increases in these very rare blood clots to basically an experimental vaccine that's been released on the world, like on a global scale. Like, we've never seen a vaccine roll out like this ever in our lives.
Well, yeah, I mean, if these things are very, very, very rare, and now they're starting to become, I guess, just less rare, more prevalent. I mean, like, there has to be something starting this. There has to be some sort of clot, some sort of reason behind this. And this seems like the most likely suspect to me.
Yeah, and I just, like, I don't want to come off like a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to come off like a crazy person, but the links and the mechanism of actions are there. It's not that really, it's not that complicated to link these two things together.
And we talked about this in the stress podcast, the one that you were mentioning earlier. We talked about how most people, like, their cardiovascular system is just trash. Like, they're overstressed, for one. So, like, they're most people do have hypertension just because of this stress. They don't exercise enough, so they don't have a lot of, like, extended blood volume. Especially during COVID times, people were exercising less than ever. You just have so many, like, factors that are going on that just created, like, the perfect scenario for these blood clots to, like, really impact people. If people were healthy overall, these blood clots probably wouldn't be an issue. But if you, like, are unhealthy, like, your cardiovascular system is just not set up for it. Like, you already have so many most people already have so many strikes against them that this is just one more. And it's, unfortunately for some people, it's just too much.
Yeah, exactly. And like Tom said, our approach to the COVID remedy was to tell everyone to stay home and tell everyone not to work out because we closed the gyms. That makes no sense, because working out and getting healthy would have prevented a lot of cases and saved a lot of lives. And I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
Well, especially, like, they were not so much anymore, but, like, towards the beginning, like, you couldn't go to the beach, which made no sense. So you couldn't even go to the beach and run. They were, like, you know, closing different parks and stuff like that. So even if you didn't work out in a traditional setting, you wanted to go running outdoors, which should be perfectly fine. There were limitations on that.
Yeah.
So, like, they made it really difficult to exercise and get fresh air.
They did. Yeah, especially in California. I know the rules weren't the same everywhere, but in California, it got pretty strict for a while there. But the thing is, the point that I'm trying to make with this blood clotting and vaccine is that, like, if someone gets a blood clot in their brain, it's very rare, especially if they get it after the vaccine, that most likely will be noted. Somebody will have to write a report. It will get reported to an agency, and most likely they'll be able to link the vaccine to that case. But are they going to be able to link the vaccine to these other more common blood clotting issues? Because if a vaccine causes more super, super rare blood clots to occur, why wouldn't it make more common blood clotting issues occur? Because that makes perfect sense to me. And, like, if this is the case, which it most likely is, that the vaccine also causes more common blood clotting issues, these rare blood clotting conditions aren't triggered, like, in a unique way. They're caused by the same thing that causes these other clots. But it would be very, very difficult to spot this happening. It would be very difficult to link the vaccine to other clotting issues. I mean, basically, there's a lot of background noise, which means that it would be extremely difficult to disentangle cause and effect. And especially if you're not looking, which we're told nowadays, like, you can't even discuss COVID vaccine, like, symptoms. You can't even discuss COVID vaccine bad outcomes. You can't even talk about that stuff. The narrative is everyone has to get vaccinated no matter what. You can't even discuss it. And I think that line of thinking is very dangerous. And anyone out there who's a critical thinker, that should be a huge red flag if we can't even discuss it. And we can't. Like, nowadays, you just can't even talk about it. Like, if an elderly person is vaccinated and then dies of a stroke a couple weeks later, you know, which happens, which honestly, a stroke is caused by a blood clot, it is unlikely that any doctor would record this as a post-vaccine adverse event. And I think more people are aware of blood clots now because of COVID. You know, it's just been in the narrative for the past year or so. But clotting issues are seen in heart attacks. They're seen in strokes. They're seen in various blockages in our blood supply. They're very common, honestly, super, super common. And that's why it's going to be really hard to connect these dots. There have been, like I said, very telling signs with all this COVID vaccine stuff. The quote I said earlier, which linked very rare blood clots in the brain and in the abdomen. If you remember the end of that quote, it said, together with low levels of blood platelets and sometimes bleeding, one clot in a relatively small vein, like in our brain, isn't going to cause a low platelet level, nor will it cause bleeding, which is a sign of very low platelet levels, which means that those unfortunate people who develop those rare blood clots in the brain almost certainly had widespread problems with other clots as well. Then, for reasons unknown, they trigger these rare forms, vanishing rare forms of blood clots, and those are the ones that killed them. Those were the ones that are recognized because they are so rare. And we basically know how people die. We know this many people die from car crashes. We know this many people die from heart attacks. This many people die from myocarditis. And dying after you get vaccinated doesn't mean the vaccine killed you. But we can look into trends and see if certain conditions that are normally very rare have increased since the vaccine rollout, and see if there's any possible connection with the vaccine and those deaths. And there have been increases in myocarditis. That is 100% true. And there have been increases in these very rare blood clots. So it doesn't take a genius to connect these dots. The spike protein itself makes our body produce clots and damages the lining of our blood vessels and the cells of our heart. All of these conditions have increased since the vaccine rollout. And personally, I would go down this rabbit hole if I wanted to learn more about deaths caused by the vaccine. And honestly, good luck. Anybody trying to go down that rabbit hole is going to be a hard road, because a lot of this data is just simply not going to be reported. The chances of becoming severely ill from COVID is minimal. And that's a fact, especially if you are young and healthy. But a clot in your brain can kill you no matter your age or overall health status. So if you have to weigh the pros and cons, it doesn't seem safe to talk about the cons of the vaccine. If you do, you're labeled as a crazy person. And I think, like I said, that narrative is very dangerous. True science is open to discussion and debate. And the risk of a healthy 19-year-old faces from COVID is negligible. That is, look at the facts, look at the data, it is negligible. The risk of a healthy 19-year-old faces from the vaccine is unknown. We don't know. And that is, I think that should be, I don't know, part of the discussion, but you can't even talk about that.
Well, like, the entire time the narrative has been the vaccine is going to save us, the vaccine is going to save us, and now that the vaccine's here, everybody's expecting them to save it. Or everybody's expecting the vaccine to save everybody. So, like, that's what it is. We just put all our eggs in the vaccine basket, and now that it's here, that's our solution. Everybody needs to get it. Doesn't matter how old you are, we're going to come up with these really quick, small sample size studies to show that, you know, even children are fine with it, and then children are going to be getting the vaccine soon enough.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just a dangerous line of thinking for me. It just really is. And we'll talk about it in the next couple episodes. They got an EUA, so an emergency use authorization to actually produce the vaccine so quickly and get it out to the population so quickly, because they said, you know, there was an emergency and they had to get it out there fast so they could kind of bypass some of the normal restrictions. So the COVID vaccine rollout is basically the biggest clinical trial there's ever been. It is a worldwide clinical trial. We're all part of it. Well, you are, I guess, if you get the vaccine. And personally, like, my vaccine protocol, if you really want to protect yourself from COVID, it would be get healthy, lose weight, lift weights, and get some sun. It's been shown obese people don't do well with COVID. It's been shown low vitamin D levels lead to worse outcomes. But these are both easy fixes. But no, like, we can't talk about that. No way. That was not part of our policy. And our policy has been to shove people indoors for months and close gyms. So basically the opposite. And it makes no sense. Like, we are coerced, even bribed, to take the vaccine with no long-term safety track record. And any discussion of side effects from these vaccines are silenced. And I have a huge problem with that. I think informed consent is very important. It's not something that's discussed a lot. It's just kind of, I don't know, implied in the hospital setting. Like, hey, you know, you have this test. Here's a list of the side effects. Sign here and we'll get this for you. But people should be presented with all the data, especially when given an experimental drug that can affect them. I think if you have autoimmune issues, I would be very wary of the vaccine. If you have any sort of blood clotting history, I'd be very wary of the vaccine. And like I said, I'll link every paper on this post, so please read it. But the science is there. I'm not saying the vaccine will kill you. I'm not saying the vaccine is bad. If you're super worried about COVID, please go get jabbed up. I don't care. But just be informed. That's all I've ever wanted. And especially just touch it back with the whole diet stuff. People think steak is bad. I'm like, no, get informed. People think vegetables are like God's gift to earth. I'm like, no, get informed. All I've ever tried to do was inform people. So that's really what I want to do with this podcast.
I mean, yeah, those are all great points. The thing that I don't really get is when we talk about vaccine, it's like, usually it's like, okay, like with the flu vaccine that we have every year, it's like, all right, who needs to get it? The elderly, the people that are going to have really bad outcomes, and then maybe people that are going to be around those people a lot. So, like, if you work in a hospital, you're going to be around old people. You work in a retirement home, you're going to be around a bunch of elderly people. It's like, those are the people that we target with, you know, the flu vaccine. But with this, it's everybody needs to get it, whether you're going to have a bad outcome or not, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, we don't treat any other disease like that. So why is this one so special?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not. If you just look at the data from the overall deaths worldwide, it's really not that special. But yeah, so that's the first episode I wanted to touch on. So basically, the mechanism of action, COVID can cause clotting, the vaccine therefore can cause clotting, and just put that out there. You know, that's the real science, and I think people should have the conversation, and I think people should have informed consent, like I said. But yeah, you have anything else you want to add to it, or you think that was enough?
That's enough for now. I mean, we are going to talk about this for two more episodes.
Yeah, we are. So we'll touch on the vaccine safety data and how that was manipulated. That, honestly, that was the genesis of this whole series, because I saw that a mile away, just because I'm really good at looking at that type of stuff. So we'll talk about that next week. And yeah, you can find us on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.